You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz. Mike Blue will be back shortly. And now it's the time. It's a sad time for me. Pete Contadori is our man behind the glass who runs the program for us, keeps us running smoothly here. Pete, it's a sad day for me.
Is it?
Sad day. The Islanders are not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yes, that's right. I heard about that. I'm sorry, George.
That's okay. Listen, whoever was finishing eighth place in the Eastern Conference was just going to be playoff fodder, first-round fodder for the Washington Capitals, who are probably just going to run over the team and run over them, back over them, and maybe then again. So, listen, you're the Ranger fan. We've known now for probably at least a month that the Rangers were going to play Montreal in the first round of the playoffs here. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a little concerned with the travel. However, we've done well on the road, so that's a plus. I don't know. I feel good. I feel good about it. And I think Montreal, we faced them in the Eastern Conference Final a few years back in 2014. I think first round, I'm pretty confident in my Rangers.
Yeah, actually, it should be one of the better first-round matchups. The Rangers, just because they're a wild-card team, are not really a true wild-card team. They just play probably the best division in hockey. They couldn't get a top-three spot. So I'm looking forward to that series. I think it's going to be a very good one. Two top-notch goaltenders, assuming Lundqvist can find his game. Carey Price sort of done the same thing as Lundqvist this year. He's been up and down somewhat, has been played better of late. Should be a very good matchup here, something I'm looking forward to. Pete, do you play in any hockey playoff pools?
I don't. I do not play in any playoff pools.
You don't? I used to play in a bunch, actually, because hockey, listen, the playoffs last forever in hockey.
Right.
We're in, mid-May now. Hockey playoffs go to the end of June. So it's like a season a season to itself. I'll play in a league where we actually will draft players. It'll be like a regular draft. You will draft as many players, but it'll be like a regular draft. I'll also play in a couple of pools. I play in a pool where you're going to draft one player from each team. You'll do that before the playoffs start. And that's one player from each team. I think you have to fill out a roster. That's... three centers, six wings.
Oh, it's positional.
Four defensemen. Yeah, so what was that? 3, 9, 13, and I guess 3 goalies to make it 16. Something like I could be off there. Maybe it's 4 centers. I don't know. But you got to fill out a roster, one player from each team. That's a fun pool. That's I think it was started by Matt Sitkoff, who works for the NHL Network. I've been doing that for about 6-7 years. Never won it. It's hard. Obviously, it's hard to win because there's some luck involved.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You got to pick the right players going the right direction.
Especially in the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't. And there's nothing like listen. We're football guys, we're baseball guys, hockey guys. There is nothing like overtime playoff hockey, man. It's the most exciting thing in my mind going on in sports.
I absolutely agree.
So, who's winning the Stanley Cup, Pete?
Oh, man. So, I have my predictions, and I'm kind of sticking with the Blue Jackets going all the way through. I think Washington kind of chokes again, even though it's Washington's year. I think that President Trophy curse is going to continue. For those of you who do not know, usually with the team that wins the President's Trophy does not win the Stanley Cup. It's only happened a few times in history. But I'm really high on Columbus getting in, and I'm kind of swayed now. I'm not sure about the Sharks anymore, dealing with the injuries. So, you know, I was in between the Blackhawks and the Sharks, so I'm thinking maybe Blackhawks now kind of take it all. I don't think Columbus can beat the West, but I think they could definitely dominate the East. So I've switched now to the bandwagon of the Chicago Blackhawks winning another cup.
Yeah, a President's Trophy means they had the most points in the NHL. For those who don't know, the injuries that Pete mentioned at San Jose are to Joe Thornton and Logan Couture. Couture took a deflected puck in the face about 2 weeks ago. Still hasn't returned. Had some dental work there done, to be nicely, to say it nicely. Thought that Dick will be back for the playoffs. I think Couture might be back as well, but I agree with you. San Jose was one of my top teams a while back, and now not so much. They haven't played well at all of late. Won't even win the division. Ducks could be a dark horse team there as well. That Patrick Eves trade is working out very well for them. I think he's got something like 10, 12 goals for that team, playing very well on that second line there, especially on the power play. So, but I'm going to agree with you about the Blackhawks. I'm going to go there. I'd love to agree with you about the Blue Jackets. I think they are a good, young, up-and-coming team, but I think that's the problem. I think they're a year away. You know, would it shock me if they beat Pittsburgh? No, because Pittsburgh is banged up like there's no tomorrow on
absolutely.
Defense. Yeah, no Chris Letang. He won't be back for the playoffs. That's a huge loss. And I know some Pittsburgh fans will point out, well, they've been beating people anyway. Yeah, but they haven't been beating great teams. And now you got to face a really good team. I'm going to pick Columbus over Pittsburgh in the opening round. Obviously, you are too. So I think that does happen. Then it'll be Columbus more than likely versus Washington in the second round. But I think that's as far as the Blue Jackets go. I think Washington will defeat them, and I will pick the Cap. This is going to be the Capitals' year, damn it. They're going to make the playoffs.
Well,
they're
going
to make the Stanley Cup.
You were talking about good matchups. Definitely Columbus-Washington would be a fantastic matchup in the second round. I think that would be a must-watch.
I think it would, too. I think it would be so many good young players. This team, both teams can skate, good goaltenders, good defense. I mean, like I said, I like Columbus a lot. That's why I wouldn't – I'm not poo-pooing your pick at all. I just think they're a year – you know, they didn't
I
even
can
make
understand
the playoffs
that.
I think they're a year ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I can understand that.
One more – I'll give you one more topic.
All right.
All right. How do you feel about the NHL saying they're not going to go to the Olympics?
We're actually talking about this on the producers, so I'm glad you asked. Yeah, I think from a business standpoint, I understand why. They don't want – just like, you know, we talked about – it's almost like the World Baseball Classic in a way. They don't want – players getting injured, you know, there's big contracts on the line. But I would love to see someone tell Ovechkin he's not going to play for his country. So
Ovechkin's going.
Yeah, he's going. So I think from a business standpoint for Gary Bettman to say, yeah, look, we're not going to participate in the 2018 Olympics. He hasn't said that they're not going to participate in any Olympics ever again. He just said this 2018 Olympics. I think from a business side was smart. You don't want injuries to hinder teams, especially in those months where playoff picture starts to come about. It's not like in the beginning of the year, like, let's say, the World Baseball Classic. It's kind of right smack dab in the middle, maybe closer toward the end of the season, where playoffs are a big deal. So I get that, but I still think the Ovechkins and the Lundqvists of the world are going to want to play for their country. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens come Olympic time next year.
George, I was actually going to butt in there and butt in here, and I was actually going to ask you that exact question. Like, what do they do? It's okay for them to say, hey, we're not supporting this and we're not going to send our players over there, but clearly there's going to be some nationalistic players that there's no way they would sit on the sidelines. So where does the acrimony come from? Does it become between the NHL and the Olympic Committee? Is it the players versus the league? How does this end up getting resolved?
It's going to be everybody versus everybody. It's a nightmare situation. The NHL wanted some concessions to make. As Pete said, I mean, it's tough for the NHL. You got to shut your league down for 2.5 weeks. I mean, that's tough to do in the middle of the season, to shut your league down. The NHL doesn't like that these games are being played, next year.
Nobody else would do it. The NBA wouldn't do it.
Right, and baseball wouldn't do it either. It's a 13-hour time difference, so the games won't be shown live, so they don't see the publicity coming this way. I get it, what the NHL is saying, but the NHL is not like the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. They need all the publicity they can get. You know, and the NHL brings you that. You know, the Olympics brings you that. You know, but there's games being played there. They want the other concessions that the IOC would not do. And then the IOC at the end said, you can't play in 2022 in Beijing if you don't play in these. I think that was the final straw for the NHL. But the problem is going to be, as Pete brought out, Ovechkin's going. There's no way you're stopping this guy. Even if the NHL had a rule, like the NHL does have a rule with the KHL, if you're on the contract for one, you can't play in the other, so you can't just leave. They'll honor each other's contracts. I don't think the Olympic Committee would do that. I think if the NHL sent out a rule that says, hey, nobody can play, and then Ovechkin would decide, hey, I'm leaving anyway, I don't think the IOC is going to go, hey, we'll honor the NHL's rule. They're going to welcome these players to go. So I think this is going to end up being a team-by-team basis. Yeah, assuming the NHL doesn't change their mind on participation, I think it's going to be a team-by-team basis. Washington's the owner, Ted Leonis, has already said, yes, he'll let Ovechkin go. But how will he feel if Ovechkin wants to go, Backstrom wants to go, Kuznetsov wants to go? You know, he won't have Shattenkirk. But if you know, half his team wants to go, and you have 8 games during this 17, 18-day stretch, your team could go 2-6. So this is going to be a nightmare for the NHL because the Washington's not going to be the only team that has this problem. You don't think Crosby's going to want to play for Team Canada? You don't think Malkin's going to want to play for Team Russia as well? You know, you mentioned Lundqvist for the Rangers wanting to play with Team Sweden. I mean, this is not going to be a good situation for the NHL. Suppose you don't shut down. You're playing the games for 2.5 weeks, but all your superstars are in the Olympics. How's that helping your ratings if all the best players aren't playing anyway? That's right. This is a logistics nightmare all around.
Huge impact on fantasy,
like Jonathan Toews is going to want to play. You know, Jonathan Toews is going to want to play. There's so many players out there that we've seen actually excel in Olympic play, too, that, Pete, it's going to be I don't know. It's an easy thing to sit here and debate now, but I think it's going to take a lot more hand-wringing and arguing on all sides of the argument in order to get anywhere near a solution, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing thing, and probably until they start planning on who's going to be on the Olympic team for USA and Russia and Canada and all that stuff. But, you know, with that two-week shutdown, if you have that two-week shutdown, let's just say, like, I agree with George, I agree with the league, they don't want to do that. If you don't do that, if you're a fantasy owner of these top guys, you're done for those 2 weeks. You have no one.
I expect to happen is this. Yeah, Pete, you can finish.
No, I was just saying it'll impact everyone. Even your fans, if you want to watch the game, yeah, you don't want 2 weeks of, okay, we have no superstars. But if you're in a serious pool or a serious league where you're trying to win some cash, I mean, it's you're going to be very upset too, because who are you going to pick from? Who are you going to have for those 2 weeks?
What I expect the NHL to do is this, assuming that they don't change their mind and the players don't go to the Olympics, or at least not okayed by the NHL. I think what you're going to see next week is during the Olympic, when the Olympics are being played, the NHL is going to have two sets of bye weeks. Half the league's going 1 week, half the league on bye the next week. That won't eliminate the problem, but it will slow it down somewhat. It'll dampen it. So instead of losing 8 games, maybe you're only losing 4.
Right.
You know, and maybe they'll make that 2 weeks where the schedule will be light. Maybe the All-Star break will be during that 2 weeks. As silly as that sounds, they might do that as well, where the players are getting 4 days off anyway to once again dampen it. I don't think they'll do that, but they could do that to dampen things. But I think that's for the NHL, I think that might be the only thing they can do. Schedule
those
the
Those are both good ideas, by the way, George. Those are both good ideas. Yeah, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But
most of my ideas are good. They just generally suck. But in this case, I think that's what the NHL is going to do to try and, I think Pete put it perfectly, dampen things. You know, slow things down so we don't lose as many. You know, maybe no team plays more than 3 to 4 times during that strand. Still sucks. I mean, listen, the Islanders are going to miss the playoffs if they win today by 2 points. That's a game in hockey. They might, you know, they'll be a team, they'll guarantee you there'll be teams that won't make the playoffs next year because during this break that we're talking about, they went 1-3 or they went 0-4 because their best players left, and that'll change things. It'll sort of, you know, it'll be wonky with the standings.
Yeah. So Pete, what else you got coming up on the producers today?
We're talking a lot of hockey only because next week we start the playoffs, April 12th. So we're going to be talking a lot of hockey. We're going to also be talking about my fantasy baseball team, which I auto-drafted. Yes, I know. I auto-drafted it. I forgot that the draft was that day.
That's a crime.
I know it's a crime. Yeah. Well, that's why we're playing.
News, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was one of those leagues where I just joined it to try it out, and it was on ESPN, and I did it like a month ago when the league opened, and I just forgot what the draft day was because I didn't really pay attention. So that is my bad. But we're playing along with it. So we're going to talk about my baseball team, and we're also going to recap the greatest of all time TV series bracket that Dane Martinez has been doing as well.
Well, what's going on there?
Yeah, is that done?
Yeah, it's done. It's done. I don't know the results.
What TV series won?
I don't know. I don't know the results. I haven't been up on.
So you're going to talk about it. You bring it up, but you don't know who won.
No,
he's teasing it, George. He's got to listen to the producers to find out.
I don't want to give too much away.
Fine.
By the way, so Fantasy Bagels and Baseball is next with Tony Cicada and Cha-Cha. That's from 10 to 12, right? And then the producers is 12 to 2. Is that right?
FanRag Fantasy Baseball is after Bagels and Baseball. That's 12-1, and then producers.
That's
is
11-12. Got it. 12-1. Got it. So Fantasy Bagels and Baseball, 10-12. FanRag Fantasy Baseball. Al Melchior from 12-1, and then the producers from 1-3. So you and Vivona getting it done. Good luck with that show, and everybody. I encourage you to listen in live or on demand. So George and I will be back to talk about today's MLB slate on the Roto Experts in the morning. back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I encourage you to go over to Twitter. Got a poll up right now at FNTSY Radio. Do you think Tony Romo made the right decision? Yes, good for him. No, I wanted to see him play. I'm saying yes, good for him. Early returns are with me. George, I think you would vote that way as well. So we'll see how it goes. I'll update it by the end of the show. I know we got it up a little late, but it is what it is. We got 24 hours. Well, maybe George will update you tomorrow on fantasy, old school fantasy. How's old school fantasy going, George?
Ah, it's going good. You know, it's good working with Corey, and I've been working with Scott for a long time. Good, very good working with Corey. Corey and Scott go at it quite often. I think it's the funniest thing there is hearing these two argue about, you know, their fan allegiances. Scott, it's funny. Scott will protect his teams. He can deny it all he wants, but he protects his teams. Whenever Corey brings up anything about the Mets, even if it's true, you know, as far as true news, not really digging anybody, he'll always throw up, you know, oh, Michael Pineda is terrible, Luis Severino is terrible, something like that. It's funny. I don't get it because I don't think people look at me as a homer as much as some other people, since I'm about as hard on my teams as any of the others. So
Scott is a homer.
Kind of interesting.
Scott is a homer in some ways, but I do. He is fairly pragmatic about the Seahawks. So I'm actually curious, because I haven't heard him this week, what are his thoughts on the Richard Sherman situation, if you guys have talked about it?
You know, I don't remember if we talked about it all that much, but if we did, I believe Scott had the same thoughts as all of us. You know, listen, when it comes to Sherman, I think I don't want to say he's worn out his welcome there, but I think he's pushed them to the edge. You know, whether he's sort of annoyed them somewhat. Although, from what we hear, it was Sherman who asked for the trade. I don't know how. Well, we don't know how true any of this is. But obviously, Sherman's been unhappy. You know, he's gotten on the offensive coordinator, which is generally you don't see defensive players do, especially out in the open like they've done. You worry about your own business. But he's gotten on the offensive coordinator, and he may have been right about that. Yeah, I think we all know not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl cost them a W there. I think that's still in the back. Even though it was years ago, I think it's still in the back of these players' heads. I think they're still angry about it. And it came up again last year when they threw the ball on the one-yard line. Listen, you're not always going to run the ball at the one-yard line. You are going to throw it every now and then just to keep defenses honest. They had some other blow-ups there. So I wonder if, you know, even though he requested it, but maybe it's because the coaching staff was getting on him, telling him to calm it down, cool it. You know, the defense almost came to blows two or three times last year with each other. You know, so I just wonder if that's all playing a part in this. Yeah, we discussed it with Matt Modicki yesterday. I think it's a fun thing to talk about. I think it's unusual. I mean, when was the last time you heard a player, a coach, and a GM all say the player was available? You never hear
rarely.
This, right?
Especially
you
in the NFL, it's very rare.
Someone, you know, denies.
Sometimes in NBA and even Major League Baseball, the talk gets so furious around guys around the deadline that they're kind of the respective trade deadlines that they're sort of forced to address it in some way, even if it's just saying, "Hey, I just got to keep my head down and you know, keep shooting," and or "I got to keep my head down and keep my approach the same," whatever sort of textbook answer you'd like. But it is pretty unique that in the NFL, where there aren't massive amounts of trades, that you see a high profile guy like this being shopped openly and everybody being honest about it. I think it's refreshing for us, but it is unusual, as you said. So it's shocking in that way. So anyway, we'll keep talking about that. I know there's not a ton of fantasy impact there, but for those of you in IDP leagues, Richard Sherman isn't a guy that's even heavily owned there because he doesn't get enough action. But that being said, it's a big move in the NFL landscape. So I'll recap one more game and then flip it over to the probables for the day, George. And that's only because Mike Trout had a pretty big home run yesterday, or a pretty big hit yesterday, I should say. He only goes 1-for-4 the run scored, but a big 2 RBI hit. It helps the Angels get the win. He had a sort of an epic 14-pitch battle with Felix Hernandez early in the game that Felix won, but he comes back to get a big hit. J.C. Ramirez gets the win for the Angels. Ricky Nolasco started. He went 6 innings, 2 runs. Quality start there. Doesn't get a decision, but Cam Bedrosian, our boy, is another guy popular on the show. I have him. Picks up save number 2 on the season.
Mike, I've noticed that you have a lot of boys.
Yeah, I'm just going to call out every guy that I own and on my team this year.
Okay. So I think Danny Duffy's your boy. Someone earlier was your boy. You have a lot of
Danny
boys
Duffy's here. Really my boy. Cam Bedrosian is my boy as long as he keeps that job, which isn't etched in stone just yet.
No, because Mike's social like screwing with us. All right,
that's right.
What's going
He's
on
the
here.
Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick of the fantasy baseball world.
Yeah, but at least Bill Belichick does what he thinks is right for his team to win games. I don't know what Sosa's thinking half the time. Because if Houston Street was healthy, Houston Street would be the closer, even though Bedrosian is twice the pitcher that Street is at this point in time. You know, Street was very good at one point. Bedrosian should be the man now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, but Street goes out with a back end. He sort of gives, you would think it makes the decision easier for Sosa. But no, he tells Bedrosian before the season starts, we're going to go with closer by committee. Now, I don't know if he's just screwing with Bedrosian's head, wants to keep the young pitcher intense and trying his best. So maybe that's what happens here because Bedrosian does have two saves in the first week of the season. So maybe it is Bedrosian, and then you worry about Andrew Bailey after that. So I wonder if that was the intent here. But like I said, Mike Socher, he's definitely old school. And we know with old school managers, sometimes they tend to, they don't want to give the younger player the closing opportunity. They want to go with the veteran, the guy they trust more, the guy that's been through the wars more, been through those situations much more often. I sort of get that, Mike. But in the end, if you're automatically going to throw your best pitcher into the ninth inning, and as far as winning games-wise, that doesn't always make sense. Sometimes sometimes the game is going to be decided in the seventh inning, and the eighth inning, that's when your best pitcher should be in there. But God forbid we should do that, because then that guy won't get a save, his agent will have a heart attack. So, it's a shame, but if you're going to do that, shouldn't Bedrosian be? Isn't Bedrosian your best pitcher? Is it even close? So I think eventually it is his job, but he's not my boy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Yeah. Angels are hitting pretty well to start the season. Escobar, another three hits, 3-for-4 with 3 runs scored in an RBI. Cole Calhoun, 1-for-4. Trout, as I said, 1-for-4. Pujols, 3-for-4, upping his average to 167. Not great. Andrelton Simmons with another hit. Cameron Bateman a hit. Everybody got a hit yesterday in the Angels lineup. 13 hits overall. On the Mariners side of things, Segura, he's probably the show's title player, is Segura. He's hitting leadoff. 3-for-4, 2 more runs scored, hitting .333 on the season.
Your boy!
That's everybody's boy on this show. But Segura, what I wanted to talk about is it's kind of been settled now because it's Segura, Haniger, Cano, Cruz, Seager, Valencia, Leonis Martin, Zunino caught yesterday, and Dyson at ninth. Dyson is 2-for-22 to start the season, I believe, are the numbers. He goes 0-for-2 yesterday. But this looks to be the lineup. I know we had talked about a lot during March. It seemed settled at the end of the March, but this is going to be the lineup. Segura in the 1 hole, Dyson in the 9 hole. Yes?
Yeah, I think that makes somewhat sense. Not because Dyson's 2-for-22, but because you still get your two speedsters back-to-back, just at 9-1 instead of 1-2. I think Haniger playing as well as he did during spring training sort of forced the move here. And then Dyson didn't have the greatest spring training. Obviously, off to a slow start this season, but this is his worry. Can't steal first base. Got to get on base first before he can run. That's always been Dyson's bugaboo. Not a great hitter here. Do I think he gets better? Of course he'll get better. The question is, do I think he's going to move on the lineup? He could eventually if Haniger cuts back down to earth, but that may be no time soon here. That being said, listen, you drafted Dyson for speed. That's why you drafted him. Great that you're going to lose some at-bats here, batting ninth. You're going to lose an average of, I think it's 1 every 2.5 games, something like that. So you do the math, you lose about 60, 70, 80 at-bats a year. That's annoying, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I cheated Dyson on one hit. He's 3-for-22. Just real quick, Madison Bumgarner actually threw 8 strong innings yesterday, only 2 earned runs.
Complete game,
but he got the loss. They lost 2-1. So San Francisco bats were ice cold yesterday against Chacin, who picks up the win, 6 2/3 strong, no runs there, 3 hits and 5 strikeouts. So Baumgartner was used all across DFS, I'm sure, yesterday, but he takes the loss. So not what you hope to see out of him. Outside of that, not a lot of hits or runs scored. I want to just really turn the page and start talking about today's lineups and today's pitching matchup. So to start it off in the afternoon slate, we got Rick Porcello pitching for the Sox. He's 1-0 on the season. He goes up against Norris for the Tigers. Daniel Norris, 23 years of age, young pitcher. So your thoughts, really, on that matchup today. What do you expect out of Porcello?
All right, so Porcello and Norris in Detroit. Hanley Ramirez out of the lineup, they say, until at least Tuesday now. Mookie Betts is in the lineup, so he will play today. Good to see they're going to have somebody there that's going to play for them. Bogart's still out. So, once again, not the greatest Boston lineup here. It might be tough to bank on a win here. Like Porcello, he pitched well on opening day. Norris, I don't think you know what you're going to get from him, but there's a better chance he'll pitch well because of the injuries here. But bottom line is, Mike, no, I'm not going to start Porcello today, DFS-wise. Like him, but with the injuries, I can't. When I think of my – when I still do my lineups, I think pretty sure you're going to get a win. You know, and I don't know if they're going to get a win because this reeks to me of another quality start, but no win. Like we saw yesterday, Bumgartner, Chris Archer, Sanchez, they all got quality starts. Darvish, but didn't get the W because the offense couldn't hit. I can see the same thing happening here.
Yeah, so you got Estrada against Odorizzi, the Blue Jays and the Rays against 110. These are the early games, obviously. Marco Estrada, Jake Odorizzi. Odorizzi 0-1 on the season.
Yeah, didn't pitch all that great against the Yankees. One of the few starting pitchers who hasn't. I'm not going to love this game either. Estrada, they're both hittable. That's the problem. They're both hittable pitch. They both can shut teams down, but they're both hittable. If I had to bank on one over the other, I would take Estrada over Odorizzi. Easier lineup there. Toronto's has the by far the better hitting lineup there. And I don't trust Odorizzi. You know, he's somebody who really you're kind of happy to get a quality start out of him. Anything else is a bonus here. Rather go with Estrada, but neither one will be in my DFS lineup.
And then turning over to another afternoon game. You know, kind of a rough first start for Gerrit Cole on the season, but he's going to try to bounce back here in his second start of the season against Julio Teheran of the Braves, that game occurring in PNC Park. So Cole getting a little bit of a softer lineup here against Atlanta.
Cole had one bad inning against the Red Sox. Other than that, he cruised. Yeah, yeah. That one bad inning, we gave, I think, four or five hits in the same inning. Benintendi hit the home run, and that really ended the game there. And the Pirates didn't hit that day anyway. I think he went up against Porcello that game. So I'm not going to knock him for that. This is one of the better pitching matchups on today. Matter of fact, it might be the best pitching matchup for today. So as much as I like, I mean, listen, I like Cole, but it's another one where I can't guarantee a W, or in my mind, I can't guarantee a W. And when I say one of the better pitching matchups, it is the best pitching matchup today.
Yeah, and last one, a couple more afternoon games. Cece Sabathia goes up against Miley, and Wade Miley going. Sabathia picked up his first win of the season the other day, and he'll go up against Wade Miley today in Baltimore. Yankees obviously going to be reeling from the Sanchez injury and a couple of other guys that are banged up, but we'll see who's in the lineup today. I don't know if you have that in front of you, George, as to who's able to who's going to be starting today for the Yanks.
Well, it's 9:30. I don't think too many. I'll check the lineups site to see if there are any out there. But it's still a little early for lineups. Yeah. As far as this game reeks to me of a game where if I wanted to go with some hitters, I might go here. Wade Miley's a sore thrower. CeCe's a sore thrower. And no lineups are in as of yet, by the way. Just checking here. Okay. So we don't know any. And not for sure, anyway. Hopefully they're in the producers. Maybe they'll get a lineup or two in there for you. But I
guarantee you Gary Sanchez is playing today.
I like that. Trey Turner probably not playing either. Yeah. Should have stole that base yesterday. Anyway, I think some runs are going to be scored in Baltimore. Yeah, I'm going to like guys like Machado, Trumbo, Chris Davis. Maybe not Davis, not the lefty on lefty. But Trumbo, Machado, Adam Jones, Jonathan Scope. These are going to be guys I'm going to look at. I think CeCe's history in Baltimore, not that good. His first start, which is very good, against Tampa, completely different kind of lineup than what is Baltimore. Baltimore scores some runs today.
And go through the last afternoon game of the day. We got Steven Strasburg throwing for the Nats today. He's 1-0 on the season. And Jeremy Hellickson, the always nimble from team to team, Jeremy Hellickson throwing for the Phillies today.
What do you mean last afternoon game? They're all afternoon games today other than the night game.
Yeah, I guess.
Sunday.
I'm just reading. I don't know. I'm reading it correctly, George. I'm not a strong reader.
It's the last 1 o'clock game today, but there are plenty of 2 o'clock games, 3 o'clock games. There's day games.
That's what I meant.
Day today.
That's what I meant. Last 1 o'clock game. You're right.
Strasburg versus Hellickson. Steph's certainly not starting Hellickson, although I don't really – I like him more for redraft leagues, year-long leagues than I do DFS. I'm not going to start him against the Nationals. Nationals may be a little ticked off if the SA's whitewashing. Strasburg is somebody I will be interested in starting. I like Strasburg a lot. I like him while he's healthy. It's really what it comes down to. I like him while he's healthy. He's gonna. How long that's going to last, I don't know. You know, his history tells us it may not be the full season, but while he's in there, Philly strike out a decent amount, I'll start Strasburg.
Yeah, good option there today. So George and I will continue to talk about today's slate when we come back after this on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning, talking about today's MLB slate. Cubs Brewers today taking place in Milwaukee. Jake Arrieta throws today, George, which is exciting. Going up against Zach Davies of the Milwaukee Brewers. So Arrieta going up against his lineup, you got to like him as an option today as well.
Yeah, actually, during the break, I was making up my DFS lineup, one of my DFS lineups, and Arrieta is my number one guy today. 9,600. I mean, I'm on DraftKings. So kind of hard not to go with him today. I think there are, when you look at your slate today, you can make an argument. Strasburg, no problem with him. Porcello, I mentioned, I'm staying away from Porcello more because of the Red Sox illnesses and guys that have a lineup. A W may be tough to come by, but I love Arrieta, 9,600. Carlos Martinez, we haven't talked about 10,000. Those are the guys I'm going to go with. I'm going to double up on Arrieta and Martinez.
Well done. So let me get to the next game on the slate, which is somebody that Matt Modica loved during this spring. Took some chances on him. Lance McCullers is going to throw today for the Strohs against the Royals, and Nathan Karns gets the call for them today.
Love McCullers. The question is sort of like Strasburg, how many starts can he make? If you could tell me right now he makes 25 plus starts, I would have drafted him in all leagues. I think it's fantastic. I just don't know how long he can last for. You know, he's one of those other guys, 8 starts, 10 starts, 15, 20, 20. You don't know. But while he's in there, he's very good. That being said, it's against the Royals, a decent hitting lineup there. I'm not going to put him in DFS. I like him. He's in my top five. But for his price, which isn't cheap today, it's not like you're getting a big-time discount on him, you know, which in case I might have pushed me to him. I mean, once again, it's 9,900. That's 300 more than Arrieta, 100 behind Carlos Martinez. I can't do that.
As we go, move over to the DFS options too, because Arrieta, I'm on FanDuel, just to give you some sense of where we're at. So Arrieta, second highest price pitcher at $10,400. Noah Syndergaard, $11,100, currently the highest priced pitcher going up against the Marlins lineup. So you feel better about Arrieta than you do Syndergaard and paying up for Syndergaard.
He's not the night game's not an option here, so I can't go with Syndergaard.
Oh yeah,
there.
Got it. So yeah, I'm looking at the all day slate on FanDuel. So I'll just make that comparison then. You still like your chances with Arrieta better than Thor going up against the Marlins?
You said Thor was 11-4.
Yeah, 11-1. Arrieta's 10-4, so $700
difference. $700
difference,
it would depend, because I have to set the rest of my lineup. If I had $700 extra, which is unlikely, then yes, I'll go with Thor. So I do like him. I mean, who doesn't like him tonight? It's going to be probably a cold night, a cool night at Citi Field. Not a good hitter's night at all. I mean, I'd like Thor if it was 95 degrees, more or less not a good night for hitters. But odds are I'm going to need that $700. And I like Arrieta enough where I'll save the $700 and put better hitters on my lineup.
Would you consider dropping down to Corey Kluber at a $10,200 going up against the Diamondbacks?
No, not with the blister from last time. Yeah, what if you're going to go five innings again and that thing acts up again? Thor has the same problem, by the way.
I know.
That blister could
That's
be an
why.
Issue. You might want to keep that in mind as well. What if he can't go seven innings? What if he's going to go
That's
five
why I'm actually – I'd actually shade towards Arrieta personally. Sorry to cut you off, but I would shade towards Arrieta personally because I don't know – even if he shuts him down, I don't know that they'll keep him in there for seven, eight innings if he could get there.
Agreed. Pickle Brian, baby. Pickle Brian.
Yeah, exactly. The old Nolan Ryan cure-all. As you said, flipping over to that matchup, you mentioned Carlos Martinez earlier. So Carlos Martinez throws against the Reds. going to get up against Scott Feldman. So this is another kind of tasty matchup going up against a lineup that has struggled a little bit early.
How can you not like Carlos Martinez? He has filthy stuff. Filthy stuff. I mean, we saw him pitch last Sunday night, the opening night, and he was fantastic. This guy is, I think he's somebody who's going to win the Cy Young in the National League, and that's saying something for Kershaw, Bumgarner, Syndergaard, that he'll be right there with them. You know, he's an ace, a pure ace here. He's going up against Scott Feldman. Is there any doubt that he's getting a W? Really, is there any doubt? Which means now he'll give up seven runs and lose. But I don't know if there's a bigger lock here than this. I love Martinez and Arrieta, and the reason I have him there, I can't see either team losing today. Just can't see it.
I hear you. Another good matchup. There's a lot of aces going today. We've gone through a bunch of them, but we have Clayton Richard for the Padres. He goes up against... I mean, they got the win yesterday against Bumgarner. They go up against Cueto. So a double dip for the Padres facing Bumgarner and now Cueto. Cueto 1-0 on the season going up against his Padres lineup. They only scored two runs yesterday. You figure he could keep them at bay yet again, George.
Absolutely. I mean, he's somebody we're going to be picking on San Diego all season long. It might be the first thing I'm always going to look at. Who's pitching against San Diego? You know, if Cincinnati's on the road, who's pitching against Cincinnati? Same sort of thing. I don't know if I'd bet against them in the Great American Small Park, but on the road in a good hip pitcher's park, I'm going to look at them as well. Milwaukee's going to be in the same situation. Not great hitting teams. But San Diego, I mean, that's really a minor league team. All right, so yes, Cueto would certainly be in consideration.
It was mainly due to some injuries and a couple other things, but the Padres' opening day lineup against Kershaw, their collective salary was less than Kershaw's.
It was ugly. I mean, is there another team? They're playing for draft picks.
I think their collective salary came in around $29 million. Kershaw's annual average value is slightly over that. So Kershaw got paid more on opening day than did the entire roster of the San Diego Padres, 25-man roster. So Cueto at 8,800. There's a lot of options here at the top of the list, but Johnny Cueto at 8,800 is somebody you can consider if you're coming off some of those top options. As we continue to go down through, I'll just do it game by game. We have Jose Quintana going up against Irvin Santana in a matchup where plenty of people own both of those guys. Irvin Santana, more of an innings guy. You're not expecting tons of help out of Ratios, but you do get innings there, and Jose Quintana, the crown jewel of the White Sox impending breakup, he throws today. He's 8,400 on FanDuel. He's going up against this Twins lineup.
It's funny. I'm looking here on DraftKings, and I'm wondering why that San Fran game is not included here as well. I guess they end at 4 o'clock, and that San Fran game is a 4:40 start, so I don't get the option of Cueto. Boo-hoo.
Yep. So, well, that's a tough one. So your thoughts on Jose Quintana today going up against the Twins lineup?
I'm going to let – he got beat up a little bit on opening day, but that was by Detroit. Yeah, Minnesota's a little different, even though they're going to the World Series, my 4-1 Minnesota Twins. Nando, man, okay, he's beating me down. Quintana I'd be on board with. The Minnesota Twins, I'm not on board with. I'm not starting – certainly not starting Buxton. Miguel Sano, and we talked about yesterday, ride the guy while he was hot. Well, struck out a bunch of times yesterday. Now it's Quintana. No, thank you. But that being said, he's 8,800 on DraftKings. You know, it is cheaper, and I think he has a good start today, but I'm going to go with the true aces in Arrieta and Martinez.
Got it. Okay, well, we'll hit a break here, talk about a few more pitching matchups as we head towards the top of the hour with Fantasy Bagels and Baseball are going to take over for us at 10, but it's Mike and George back for the last segment on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Wow. Really revving it up here in the final segment. I'm not a big heavy metal guy, but this will get the juices flowing. And not anticipate that, George. It's a headbanger's ball here in the last segment. you fired up.
Better than country. Really,
you're not really a heavy metal guy, though, George. You're like rock guy.
I'm a classic rock guy, yeah. Heavy metal, I like to hear what my singers are saying.
Yeah, I'm just not into it. It's never... Never really got into it. Everybody's got a phase. I never really had a strong heavy metal phase. But in any event, moving on. A's Rangers, Martin Perez or Martin Perez. I'm not sure exactly what the pronunciation is there. I'll be Martin. Honest. Martin Perez goes up against Sean Manea, a guy that we talked about quite a bit during the offseason. But they go up against each other today at 3:05 Eastern. A's Rangers, George.
No, I'm staying away from both here. Certainly not starting Martin Perez. I don't trust him at all. I mean, I'd have to be crazy really to start. I mean, maybe if Kershaw was on the slate, he was getting 30, it was 13 plus thousand. You really got to go someone cheap, and then you go with Perez just to bank on the win. But even that's it's just way too risky here. No on Perez and Manea. He has some value, but not in Texas against that lineup.
Yeah, Kenta Maeda goes up against Tyler Anderson for the Rockies. Any thoughts there? I mean, obviously in Colorado, we're basically staying away from the pitchers there, but are you trying to take advantage of either of these pitchers?
Listen, Colorado is the new pitcher's ballpark, man. First game was 2-1. Last night was 4-2. I mean, they can't score runs there all of a sudden. No, I'm not starting either one of these guys here. Same reason. I'll just go by averages. I'll just play with numbers here. Isn't today the day where there's going to be 20 runs scored there? So no, I doubt it. But that being said, I'm not banking on a great pitching performance either. No, thank you.
Hisashi Iwakuma goes for the Mariners today up against Matt Shoemaker for the Angels. I don't know if you have thoughts on either particular pitcher, if you want to take advantage of either particular pitcher.
Why aren't the Mariners scoring runs? I mean,
all
season long, for a team that has a good offense, they're not scoring. They're not hitting on anywhere near all cylinders right now.
They're 1-5. They're probably, you know, of all the teams that have had a bad week, they might have had the worst. They're 1-5 right now.
Yeah, and they're having some struggles. They're having some struggles right now, and it's mainly because they're hitting. They got to hit better. I mean, they just have to hit better. Schumacher and Iwakuma, and the first thing I think of is they're two middle-of-the-road pitchers, right? It's in L.A., so the ball's not going to travel that well there day or night. I don't hate it, but I don't love it either. If the Mariners are playing well, then I think Iwakuma could be a start once again if you wanted to go with your high-priced Thor and you need to save money someplace else. But that being said, they're not. Angels are on a good team, period. I need that win for my starting pitcher. Don't know who's getting it here. No, thank you.
All right, so how about let's we've kind of gone through every pitching matchup, but how about stacking lineups against some of these pitchers? Is there anything you're interested in? I mean, we can go through the whole slate. We got the Sox going up against Norris. We got the Yankees going up against Miley. You talked about Dodgers Rockies. Do we take advantage of Maeda or Anderson? You know, going down the list, there's some other guys out there that could be in trouble today. Corbin going up against the Indians today. Patrick Corbin going up against the Indians. Maybe that's a lineup that you want to focus on. But anyway, I'll leave it to you. Anybody that you're really looking to take advantage of today?
Well, when you're looking at stacking, I do stack. You know, I'm going to have at least one lineup that will be stacked here. You're not going Red Sox, Tigers. Once again, the Red Sox have too many injuries. Tigers are going up against Porcello. Blue Jays, Rays. If the Jays were hitting better, I would think about it against Odorizzi, but they're not. I like the Orioles today. Excuse me. Once again, the Orioles have beaten up on Sabathia in the past. You know, he throws a lot of soft stuff here. So I'm going to be interested in maybe a Machado, maybe a Trumbo. But it's hard to stack because those guys are going to be expensive. The only thing about stacking, if you do that, that means you may not be able to get the pitches you want. You know, I may not be able to start then Martinez and Arrieta. Maybe I just got to go one with the other, and then I need a lower-ranked pitcher. So you got to think about that as well. But the Orioles will be a team I'll be interested in today. Nats, Phillies, I think Hellickson will do well enough where I'm not going to stack against them. Braves, Pirates probably have the best pitching matchup on the day. Twins, White Sox. You could certainly think about going White Sox, but Santana has been okay. Quintana, I'm not going to bet against him. Cubs. How about the Cubs? Go up against Zach Davies. Davies got wrecked in his first outing. Everybody needs to be careful about today. Remember, I said it earlier. It's Sunday. You better make sure you're at your computer when lineups come out to see if your catcher is in the lineup. A lot of catchers will sit today. So if you want to start Wilson Contreras, you want to be part of your stack today, you better make sure he's in the lineup. You know, so be careful there. But I do like the Brewers. I do like the Cubs here as a stack. You can look at several guys here. I mean, Contreras, Bryant, Rizzo. You can't put them all. They have so many superstars here. Russell, Zobras, Baez played well yesterday. Baez is another player you have to watch for and make sure he's in the lineup. So these guys I'm going to look at. But like I said, you're not going to be able to get them all in the lineup here. I mean, once again, I'm on DraftKings. Rizzo's 5,100. Bryant's 5,000. Schwarber, 4,700. That doesn't sound like high prices, but if you have two good pitchers in your lineup, you can't afford these guys. So you automatically, yeah. That's the only thing about stacking. You automatically can't have two great ones. You can have one good pitcher, but then you got to go lower on the other guy to save some cash.
Agreed. You know, and as I'm going down through, I do kind of like the Indians today. I think there's something interesting there, and it would be taking a little bit of it would be taking a little bit of a bet. But going back to the Mariners, like over time, we have to figure they're going to break out at some point. Now, when teams are ice cold as they are, you don't necessarily want to bet on them. But at the same time, I kind of like their chances up against Patrick Corbin, so they could be kind of interesting to use a couple of Mariners today.
Mariners are playing Los Angeles. Cleveland's playing.
Oh, my
Arizona,
bad.
Right?
I meant. Sorry, I read the wrong name. Against Matt Shoemaker. Same. Same approach, but going up against Matt Shoemaker. I said Patrick Corbin instead of Matt Shoemaker.
Listen, I like Shoemaker's not a bad pitcher, so I don't know if I'm going to go that direction here. You're going to bank on a team that hasn't scored a lot. That's sort of a contrarian play. Yeah, if you want to go at one lineup where you go, just go, hey, I'm going to go heavy Mariners because no one else is going to do it. I don't mind that. Like I said, today might be a day because I'm home all day. I might play 10 lineups. When I say this, by the way, folks, I'm not playing 10 $100 lineups, but, a couple of $5, a couple of $10, maybe a $25. But maybe one of those $5 lineups or $10 lineups, the cheaper ones, I go, like Mike's saying. I'm going to bank on a team that hasn't done anything because if I hit it, I win easy. That'd probably be a tournament play for me or a contest more than a 50-50 double up. I wouldn't do it there. But I could definitely see that, sure. And I do things like that at times when I'm just going up. I'm going by gut feel more than what the numbers tell me. I think there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're playing a bunch of contests, a bunch of games. And like I said, today, Sunday afternoon, I'm home, going to watch all the games, a lot of hockey today, a lot of baseball. Why not put a bunch of lineups in?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hell, the Yankees can't win. Not like I can root for them.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the news of the day is we got to find out what's going to happen with Trey Turner, and we really got to find out what's happening with Gary Sanchez already on the DL. He was on the DL less than 24 hours after it happened, basically 12 hours after it happened.
Oh, by the way, we do have a couple of lineups, Mike.
We do. Well, that's good. Which lineups are out?
Detroit has put out their lineup, and the Rays have put out theirs. Detroit, and Scott Angle, by the way, has a big thing with lineups. You have to actually sound like the announcer. He wants Mike Florio to play a charge theme. Detroit and Boston is out. Mookie Betts is in the lineup. So that's the important part there. No Hanley Ramirez, no Xander Bogaerts. Matter of fact, the Red Sox lineup against Daniel Norris is Dustin Pedroia, Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, Chris Young, Mitch Moreland, Steve Selsky, has him. Sandy Leon, the Kung Fu Panda, Marco Hernandez. I mean, wow. This is not what we thought when we thought about the Red Sox.
Not what you signed up for. I'll give you the Tigers lineup right now. Ian Kinsler start in the one hole. Nick Castellanos, Miggy Cabrera, Victor Martinez, Justin Upton, Tyler Collins, Alex Avila, Andrew Romine starting in center, and Jose Iglesias at short. There is the Blue Jays lineup is out. Corey Dickerson, I'm sorry, that's the Rays lineup. Corey Dickerson leads off. Kevin Kiermaier, Evan Longoria, Brad Miller in the cleanup hole, Steven Souza, Logan Morrison, Daniel Robertson, Malik Smith starting in left, and Jesus Sucre will be catching for them as I go down through. Those are the only active lineups. So you got both Tigers and Sox. George noted the important part there that you have still no Bogaerts, still no Hanley Ramirez. So keep an eye on that. Heading towards the end of the show, Fantasy Bagels and Baseball is coming up next, followed by FanRag Fantasy Baseball, followed by the producers. So that's your slate for the day. We appreciate you joining us over the last 3 hours. I will update you on the poll. And the poll was, did you think Tony Romo made the right decision? And yes, good for him, or no, wanted to see him play. Yes, good for him in the early lead, George. It's 23 hours left to go on that poll, but 60% in favor of Tony Romo saying yes, good for him.
Yeah, I think he did the right thing, right? Overall, protect your health, man. You got the money, protect your health. You're only 37 years old. Enjoy your life, man. He's got two kids, one on the way, beautiful wife. Enjoy, live it.
Yeah, his wife is beautiful, I will say.
I have no idea. I just assumed. Professional athlete, I'm not going out on a limb here.
She's a former like beauty pageant contestant.
Another shock
winner. Yeah. Give me a over under on Gary Sanchez. I'll put the over under at 30 days. Over or under in the time he's out.
I'm going to give it under, but barely under. Like I said, first week in May is when I suspect him back. So I have it at 28 days.
All right. That's the big news for the week in baseball. Thanks for joining us this morning, folks. Fantasy Bagels and Baseball next. Thanks for listening. Roto Experts in the Morning. We're out.